government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
Welcome back to CDM Markets. I'm here with...
Nope, you're muted.
Got a problem with my mic. Got to shorten the cord. So anyway, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
All right. Here we go again. Welcome back to CDM Markets. We're here with Rob Cunningham. You guys know him already. He's kind of a guru in the crypto new economy, Web3 issues. And we wanted to get his opinion on what Trump and Kennedy now might do to change the economy globally towards that crypto. So thanks, Rob, for coming on.
No, it's my pleasure. Great conversation to have.
So what are your thoughts? And let me just set the stage. So Trump has talked about, you know, Bitcoin. He hasn't much talked about some of the other currencies, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Bobby is much more, I think, versed in, he's been to the crypto conferences. He spoke. He's focused on the issue. What say you?
Yeah, I believe Bobby and Trump both have a lot of things in common. Number one is transparency. Mm-hmm. We have to take the secrecy out of government. And mm-hmm. You cannot have accountability and secrecy. You have to have accountability and transparency. Look at what we're doing in Georgia. We're trying mm-hmm. to get records. We're trying to get data. We're trying to do Freedom of Information Act requests, and they're running out the clock, and they're mm-hmm. pointing fingers, and nobody can see anything. And we're not entitled as non-members of the Georgia State Republican Party because we're not part of the corporation. And I mean, they're using a corporation for political purposes and keeping us from seeing what they're doing with the money and then calling us conspiracy theorists because we ask questions.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge story, I think, eventually when this all comes out as to what actually is going on behind the green curtain.
We can't have government if we don't have transparency because the government is not here to help us. The government is here to serve themselves. And if they're able to do that behind a curtain without accountability, we can't have a functioning government. And I know for a fact both Kennedy and Donald Trump believe in those principles.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how does that look like in practice, you think?
Well, I think two of the biggest players or power centers on planet Earth are central bankers and central pharmacies. The pharmaceutical industry, big industry. I mean, they get to poison us and jab us, and they minted what, 87 billionaires in the pandemic? You know, and
yeah.
Trust us, we know the science. You can't ask questions, sit down, shut up, and roll up your sleeve. You know, there was no transparency. There was no accountability. There was fear porn. There was finger painting. And there was massive billions being made and a lot of people losing their lives. Mm-hmm. Central bankers have to operate behind the curtain in secrecy, no audits, no transparency, no accountability. They get to weaponize the monetary system to feed the medical industrial complex and the media industrial complex. So those two industries, which Trump knows business well, he knows the BRICS nations well, he understands sound money and a gold standard very well. Mm-hmm. He understands that there has to be a reversion to nationalism and a rejection of globalism. Well, Kennedy understands the intricacies of the medical system, the pharmaceutical systems, the AMA and the Pfizer and the WHO and the Fauci and the research labs, and how all of that works together with NGOs and secrecies and offshore and military operations. And we have got to bring sunlight on both of those two critical industries. We've got to have sound money, and we have to have sound science. We have to have sound health. And I think both of these folks are going to be, I already know that President Trump, in the 8 years he's been on the national scene, has disrupted the geopolitics of central banking and globalism. That's why they hate him so much. And to have someone like Kennedy come in, backed and endorsed in bringing a sledgehammer to the secrecy of pharmakia, is going to have a very beneficial effect to mankind, so that, you know, they can't have these, cook up all these cocktails, make all this money, and have no liability to putting any kind of poison they feel like putting in our bodies and get away with it. That is not a way to run a government or a nation or a world. So I'm hoping, among hope, that a Kennedy-Trump alliance will help us financially and, you know, physically.
Well, you made a good point. Well, a couple of good points. One, it's global. It's not just for the United States. It's for all of humanity, right? I mean, all this is being spread and done all over the world. You look at this interview Tucker just did, where he went into how they're creating the diseases, not and then creating the cure, but not even the cure, just to manage the illness and to keep you going as long as possible. And you suffer until you die, but you never get well. And they're profiting off that. And then today or yesterday, we had a revision to the economic data where 1 million jobs just disappeared. I mean, it's all theater, right? I mean, they're just creating the theater they want to make the markets what they want. And then they backdoor the data down the road once nobody's looking. That's not an economic system. It's more of a show.
It's a control system. It's a slave master system. It's a jail system. I just got finished before we jumped on the phone call with a gentleman that had wrote a book in part with Robert F. Kennedy and the Children's mm-hmm. Health Defense Club. His name is Jay Cooey. Mm-hmm. You know who Jay is or not, but we did.
I know who he is, but I don't know him. Yeah.
He's a neurobiologist from the University of Pittsburgh, 2,900 citations. And, you know, was asked to leave when he started asking questions about the efficacy of the testing and what they were going to be injecting people with. And, mm-hmm. you know, 20-year career, unbelievable PhD, you know, booted out of the system because they just felt uncomfortable with him asking questions. Well, isn't that the scientific method? Aren't you supposed to ask questions and validate your results instead of just experiment on people like a bunch of lab rats for money? So, I mean, it's amazing the connectivity between how bankers, quote unquote, and I use that term, debtors, slavers can only operate in secrecy behind the curtain. And these pharmakia cocktail solution salespeople that are here to help us can mm-hmm. only operate behind the curtain in secrecy, where we can't see the cocktails and their best practices for making their solutions that they profit off of and we all die from.
I think people really, a lot of people, good, honest people that maybe are not so plugged in, really have a hard time understanding how deep and bad this is, right? I mean, they're like, oh, that's not really true, but it actually is. I mean, and they've been doing this for a long time, right?
Long time. They get to control the narrative. Whoever gets to control the narrative at the top level, four companies, five companies control 90% of the narrative, and BlackRock and Vanguard finances them. And the NIT system is set up that if you don't speak real speak, you get deplatformed, you get doxxed, you get silenced, you get your account whacked. You can't speak other than approved speak. It's like they've rigged the football game, Todd, between the 40-yard lines. They don't mind if we have robust debate and discussion and the left and the right. We can get on there. We can fight the fight in between the 40s, but don't wander down to the 35 or 20 or into the end zone or into the parking lot or into the stadium, because we've told you fight like hell so that we give the illusion of choice and debate and freedom and thought experiment between the 40-yard lines, but do not leave that 20-yard line part of the field or you're out of the game.
Yeah, and that's been quite obvious that both sides are controlled to do that. Let's talk, I guess, for lack of a better word, the new monetary system. Mm-hmm. So day one, what do you see Trump and Kennedy, if they get in, the team? You know, Kennedy may be AG, he may be HHS, who knows, but he definitely will, and he probably already is talking to Trump about what to do and how to, you know, change the economy for the better. Yeah. What do you think would happen?
Well, I think in some respects, you know, we've got the triage that we've got to take place right now is people are gasping for air. We're drowning in debt. We're drowning in taxation. We can't make ends meet. Inflation's horrible. The debt is horrible. The food prices are horrible. Gasoline's horrible. Jobs are going away. Like you just mentioned, a million jobs. They created that to create a narrative in an election year. Mm-hmm. They didn't make a mistake, Todd. That was deception.
Exactly.
You know, you don't discount a million jobs. Now, look at what people are doing. They're misappropriating capital. They're investing poorly based on, on bad data. Interest rates are staying high because, you know, you don't want the economy and the jobs market to heat up. Well, if it wasn't heating in the first place, that took away your reason for not lowering interest rates.
Yeah. Right?
So you're damaging people with deception and secrecy and bad economic policy. And more importantly, money that's not money, money that is debt. The first thing we have to do is change debt back to money. A gold-backed currency system that's issued by the United States of America, not the Federal Reserve in the city of London.
Yeah.
We've got to issue. People need to understand that an economy is a welfare system, if you will. It's for the betterment of the welfare of the nation. It's supposed to be a trust system that just helps people move their assets amongst themselves. It's a public good.
It's just kind of like Greece. I mean, it's not supposed to be creating oil.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's supposed to be a public welfare with fiduciaries that make sure that the system operates honestly and fairly for all people. That's what the Treasury is all about. So that we can have a monetary, we ought to be able to have a barter system. Their system should not be put up at odds to we the people, where it's private, for profit. They get to monopolize it. They get to tax it. They get to charge interest on it. They get to do secret sets of books. They get to siphon money off for a never-ending military-industrial complex, so we're always in a state of war. And there is, if a system was run honestly, Todd.
Our world is changing rapidly. Many crucial systems we depend upon are collapsing. And the most important system that is failing is the food supply.
Mr. President, this council is more than aware of the multiple challenges and threats the world is facing today. But the threat of famine, people starving slowly to death, must be a red line.
You know, these food prices are going to keep going up and up, and they're going to keep feeding excuse after excuse, narrative after narrative.
Yeah.
Where you're going to have to get off that treadmill and start getting more autonomous with your own food growing.
You want to make sure that you can eat, because frankly, food is the biggest issue as we are going through these transitions.
But amidst the chaos, there is a path to resilience. Marjorie Wildcraft is the female leader of the survival and preparedness movement. Marjorie has taught millions of people how to grow an abundance of food in a grid-down situation, even if you have no experience, are older, or out of shape.
I've spent decades finding the fastest, easiest, and funnest ways for the average person to be able to grow a lot of food. I've created a step-by-step process that's so simple that even kids to elders have been using it in order to grow a lot of their own food. And you can too, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape.
Growing your own food is like printing your own money. Get started.
95% of the wealth would not be in the hands of 1 or 2% of the people.
Right.
It's designed to leak, it's designed to be unlevel, it's designed to be a fraud, and it's designed to keep us in servitude.
Rob, what do you hear from people? You're out preaching the message of economic survival, and you really have your thumb on exactly what needs to be done, and you see it more than most people I know. What's the response are you getting from the people when you try to tell them what's happening?
It's caution. It's trepidation. Mm-hmm. It's a sense of knowing that there's an angst. There's a sense of knowing that something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also cooked us, Todd, all of us, kind of in a stew of stupid our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I used to remember when I was at Merrill Lynch back in those days, remembering myself included. We have to understand, even the guys that work at Merrill and Smith Barney, a lot of those guys are really good at sales and marketing.
Yes.
And they know the lingo. They're not necessarily towering giants of finance. Okay. They know how to sell and market and package and convey conceptual ideas and help organize and do financial planning and sell debt products and mutual funds or whatever.
Wall Street is sales all the way from the broker up to the investment banker to research to everything's all sales, right?
So what we have is basically a financially ignorant society. So when you start talking about cryptocurrencies or what that even means or blockchain or transparency or sound money versus fiat money, you really very quickly go into uncharted waters where most people haven't studied any of the history of the Fed or Jekyll Island or Bretton Woods or, M1, M2, money supply, monetary system, none of this stuff, derivatives, commodities, options, puts, calls. It's just Swahili to most people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw in the media trying to scare the hell out of people about CBDCs and social credit scores. And we're all going to be eating bugs and living in 15-minute cities. And they're going to track our everything because they're going to make us China. That's just adding fuel on the fire of trepidation.
Yeah.
And so what I'm finding is, people want to know, but there's a small percentage of people that want to put their shoulder to the grindstone and really understand it and dig deep and understand the concepts. And rightfully so, Todd, they don't know who to trust.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where to place their trust because we're all realizing, for the most part, we've been lied to our whole lives.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to ask people to look, I know you've been lied to your whole life, but now trust me on this. And it's hard to gain that trust.
Well, to your credit, I heard somebody say, every time I talk to Rob, it ends up about crypto. But I think that was said in as a compliment. I mean, it because you see everything is connected to that, right? I mean, you see everything is about the monetary system because it impacts us all.
Well, 40% of the Bible, 40% of the law book, a little bit more than 40% is about money and materialism. And it's why? Because what we work out, our essence, our soul, our life, while we're here on this planet breathing oxygen, once we start making things and making stuff, our creativity, our time, our labor, our talents, whether we build houses or businesses or cars or media companies or whatever we build, that is an expression of our creation, our creativity. Well, if it gets exchanged for a fault system, it gets exchanged for, if I'm getting a pig and a poke, if I build a house and you give me a bunch of debt instruments that then shrink away and the inflation 10 years later makes that value go down by half.
Yeah.
I got robbed. I got stolen. So honest money is actual respect for your life and my life.
You said something last time we talked. You said that your portfolio is the value of your life's work or something like that. That stuck with me because you've created all this value and you put it for somebody to hold it and then it disappears over time.
They've created a counterfeit system and convinced us to change our real actual value that the rest of the world has given to us in exchange. We consented and contracted with the world. And then we put our value in a counterfeit system that they suck away from us, tax and in debt and inflate and debase, and they boom and bust cycle, and they lie to us. and they put it in the hands of their allies, their central banking franchise, with all the tentacles from the central bank down to the local credit union, and they control everything in between. You know, the triple-headed monster of the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and the income tax all came in 1913. And that was the clause that put their siphon into the body politic of the United States of America to then govern us via IRS code, govern us via fake money, govern us via rules and terms and maritime law that none of us understand. They give us narrative A and they operate on narrative B.
And they essentially, over the last 80 years, have looted the country, right? That was the goal, just to loot all the productive labor and capital that we created.
It's not an accident that 90 or 95% of the world's wealth is in the hands of 2% of the people. That didn't happen by accident. It happened by intentional design. Mm-hmm. And what crypto does and what decentralized ledger, it's crypto is a bad name. I want to go back to what the former comptroller of the currency, Brian Brooks, said. Crypto is a terrible name. It's not about changing currencies. It's about changing the system of banking.
If people realize that you don't need to go to the bank,
right?
You could just deal direct with Rob and Todd and do the transaction, and you don't have to pay them a percent.
You can have everything in your wallet. You can have your own cryptographically safe wallet that is yours. It's got your assets in it. It can have your medical records. It can have your college diploma. It can have your Bitcoin. It can have your dollars. It can have your pesos, your German marks. It can have it can have your car title. It can have everything in here. And if I want to go by and tap and get a Starbucks or tap and get a new airplane ticket or transfer my car to you and we go tap, tap, and the documents and the title and the lien and the cash go to you and everything works.
And let me just say, this is a decentralized model, not something the government can control and shut off when they want to, right?
It's a free central system that's decent. Now, it can be compliant, but it takes 8 sets of hands out of the compliance model and all the fat and friction. If I can move, and people do this, they talk about all the time, company A can move $35 million to company B for less than a penny.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in the current system right now. Yeah. I mean, again, transference of value is a public good. That's something the government ought to protect, just like it protects the highways, just like it protects, you know, the airports, or just like it's supposed to protect our borders. It's just a function of government. It's not supposed to be a means of profit for government.
It's not supposed to be a looting mechanism for all of our hard work.
It's a wealth. What they have designed is a wealth extraction system. And what crypto does is it terminates that wealth extraction system. And our assets is turned into money and they extract it. The reason I talk about crypto all the time is I want us to have our lives back. Our liberties back. And that's what kill Trump, kill MAGA, white nationalists, pandemics, stop the disruption, get rid of that orange man. That's what all at the core of all of this is: leave our system alone, sit down, shut up, go back to work, build us some stuff, and let us keep stealing from you. That's what this real war has been about for quite a long time.
Well, a compliment to you. You've educated me on the subject, and I feel I get it now, which I can't say that I got it a year ago. So I do now. So thank you to your hard work, and hopefully our audience will feel the same. Rob, I know you got a hard stop, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
All right. Take care.